Hey guys, thank you for downloading, listening, and sharing with a friend. If you want to support the show, then the best way of doing so is by giving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There'll be details at the end of the show, so in the meantime, sit back and enjoy. We join our players in the dreaded and currently war-torn town of Innsmouth. Unfortunately for them, they have been split up. Bart and Spencer found a number of explosive charges on the body of a dying soldier and are currently attempting to sneak into the esoteric order of Dagon. Meanwhile, Mick Tobin survived a hand-to-hand battle with a 9-foot-deep one by bringing a church down upon it, and is now alone in the northern part of town.
Okay, should we move on? Okay, so Mick Tobin, all around you, you can see the kind of dilapidated buildings of the harbour. There's a few warehouses to your far right, and you can also see the esoteric order of Dagon. And on the hill, right in front of you, is beginning to light up. One by one, the windows of both floors are lighting up in blood red fire, which pierces the night and reflects strangely across the kind of rain in a strange prismic manner. To your left, you can see out across the harbour towards Devil Reef, where the three warships are engaged in a tremendous battle against strange crawling back figures which have engulfed it.
Okay, so this Order of Dagon is back towards the centre of town, you're saying?
Yeah.
In terms of distance-wise, I can see it in the distance, I could walk there, I could throw a stone at it. How far are we, like?
I reckon 3 or 4 streets away.
Okay. And there's no sign of, like, I was going to say, webbed feet footprints? Like, I don't know what the fish guy would walk like. There's, like, this is the guy out, this, Molly is my main
okay.
objective.
So the fish guy is crumbled under the church that you've just destroyed.
That's the same fish guy, is it?
Same fish guy, yeah, same fish guy. You can see the living cultist is dragging Molly. You can see straight down Lafayette, which is one of the streets, which heads straight down the centre of town towards the esoteric order. He's quite a way away, a couple of 100 metres.
Okay, so too far to shoot, probably. And he's not aware, he's not like looking over his shoulder, he hasn't seen me or spotted me.
Molly looks like she's struggling against him, so he's dragging her through the rain.
So is there any way I could like circumvent, like instead of running down Lafayette, can I go down like a side street and run down like a back alley behind the houses and try and cut him off if I go full sprint?
So the left and right of the street are these huge warehouses. You can cut behind one of the warehouses, definitely. Or if you want to kind of be a free runner, you can climb up on top of one of the warehouses.
No, at 2 hit points, I will. Do I need to do like an athletics check or anything? Like, I will try to sprint full on.
You've got a major wound right now.
I will
you
try
need
to
get a successful medicine check within 1 hour. So, being a doctor, you're probably ideally placed to try and sort yourself out.
In that case, I see all this happening. I'm going to walk a couple of feet down Lafayette and fall through a door into one of these. Are they derelict warehouses or like actual active warehouses and trading?
You're not sure.
I'm going to fall against the doorway, some sort of something that's off the street, some sort of maybe archway, just into a doorway and try and give myself a medicine roll or first aid roll.
Yeah, there's huge doors in front of the warehouse, like, you know, the kind of double doors. Set into the nearest one is a smaller door, and the flaky and sort of wind-scored woodwork is not holding the lock properly. So you reckon if you push hard enough, the lock and chain will just fall off, and you could probably get into this warehouse.
Yeah, so I walk forward, and so I'm stumbling forward, broken ribs, clutching my chest, bleeding profusely from my face and nose, or but it would essentially an altar, more or less. And I stumble against the door, more so trying to brace myself, and just fall clean through it. And at that point, just think, okay, I need to patch myself up, so I tear off a sleeve of my wizard robe, which I'm also in.
It appears to be a fish packing warehouse. There's just rows and rows and rows of strange and exotic fish, stacked up upon each other, and there's various kind of fishing equipment. Do you want to give yourself a medicine roll? Let's start with that.
I grabbed a medicine roll. I got 43 versus 70.
Fantastic. You can heal 1d3 hit points.
1d3. Oh, please, Jesus. Okay, there's only a d6, so we divide this by 2, alright?
So it's 1, 2 is 1, 3, yeah, 4 yeah. is 2.
I get 2 hit points. Yay!
Two hit points back, fantastic.
Can I untake the major wound?
Unfortunately not. Medicine roll takes an hour of recovery, a major wound takes a week to recover from.
So, yeah, so you've still got your major wound, but you've got, what, 5 hit points left?
Okay, so we'll say I've got a broken left arm and I throw it in a sling, because I don't use my left arm anyway.
Okay.
How's that sound?
You can give me, while you're sitting in this warehouse, you can either give me an idea roll or you can give me a listen roll.
Ooh, choices. I'm really good at listening, but idea rolls are really good. Idea rolls, intelligence, is it?
Sort of, are you smarter or sharp-eared?
I'm for some reason, being a doctor makes me super good at hearing.
Stethoscope works. Yeah.
It's 59 versus 50. Oh, I'm going to go for the 50 roll. Fuck it, I'll go for the idea roll. I like the idea of ideas. That makes sense. I got 95. Either way, I'm fucked. Never mind.
Let's go with there. Let's say you can have both, so let's have a listen roll as well.
Something really cool is going to happen. I'm going to fail both rolls, and Joe's going to be so pissed at me. So versus 59, I get 20.
Hard success. Thank God. The idea roll, this is just for the listeners and everyone else listening that's not Owen. The idea roll was to remind you that one of the teams of commandos was to enter the town through the network of subterranean tunnels, make their way to the harbour, and blow up all the warehouses. The listening
Uh-oh.
Is to hear the sound of ticking from a charge you now see, or a number of charges you now see placed around the warehouse.
Oh shit!
That would have been the most pathetic death ever.
Why are they blowing up the warehouse? I thought they'd blow up the harbour. Okay, never mind.
It's a misunderstanding of the FBI of what's happening in Innsmouth. They're convinced that it's a base for the booze smuggling.
They also think there's
some sort of white slavery going on, and they think the warehouse is the source of it. So
blow up all the slaves.
Evil cult of mer people.
Yeah, it comes from the... It's all originally from the shadows of Innsmouth. As much as possible, I'm actually trying to use quite a lot of original descriptions as well. Outside the Esoteric Order of Dagon, where Spencer has been trying unsuccessfully for about 20 minutes to unlock the door.
I just massage this old, take your time, don't push it, we don't want to break a lockpick.
This is not D&D, you're not a bard, you don't have inspirational ways of giving more. Okay, the door clicks open and slowly creaks, revealing a void of darkness in front of you. As the door opens, and this is unlike the door to the warehouse where Mick Tobin is hiding, this is an incredibly thick, well-kept oak door which is covered in strange runes and sigils. You can be an occult check, actually, if you want.
Sigils.
Sigils. Come on, you're such a good man for English words. Sigils.
Runes and seagulls.
No more drinking for
runes. Strange runes and seagulls. Fine, don't make me knock out check. The door explodes and everyone dies.
Extreme success, baby. Well, there you go, I don't need to do one. 7 against 63.
Okay, there are rumours of strange ancient creatures existing long before humans crawled out of the mud and slime of the oceans. These have been documented in many ancient texts, none of which you've been fortunate enough to study. However, there are notes of people that have studied them. And these runes seem to originate from some of these sort of old continents and old lands. Or at least that. They don't hold any power or particular meaning. They're more symbolic seagulls.
Is it bad that my Cthulhu Mythos is like 3 times higher than my occult?
Well, that just shows that your understanding of the way that reality isn't actually reality is much higher than the way that you've read about how reality isn't reality.
That's how I like it. That's fine.
Okay. The door reveals a short corridor, only 20 foot long, maybe not even that. At the end is another heavy door covered in seagulls, and to your right and left are two smaller doors. The floor itself is not cobbled like outside, but is granite slabs. Reasonably decorative.
Can I listen at the doors?
Okay. From inside, you can hear a strange sound. It sounds a bit like...
Is someone trying to lift up something very heavy or something?
It sounds like someone straining against something.
Does it sound like they're straining against the door? Or is it further into the room?
No, not at all. About 5 feet into the room, you reckon.
Okay. I'm going to ready my weapon and see if I can open... You know, is the door locked? Sort of jiggle the handle.
How are you going to check it? Are you going to jiggle the handle?
If you jiggle it, that's going to give the game away. Why don't you try turning it slowly?
Okay. While you have this discussion outside, you hear from inside the room, "I'll be out in a minute. I won't be long."
It's actually a toilet, isn't it?
where? How close is the next door?
It's right behind you.
Right, I'm gonna go for that door and just open it and try and hide away from what I think is now a toilet.
Okay, this room is a storeroom. There's various piles of grain, barrels, all sorts of kind of crap in there. From the door at the end of the corridor, there's a knock. So you know the door that was right leading into the esoteric order.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a voice going, "Grandmaster, are you almost out? The deep ones have arrived with the Smith girl ready for sacrifice. I'll be there in a minute." "Okay, Grandmaster. Just be quick if you can."
What's a toilet?
"Sorry, gentlemen, we're just going to put the evil ritual on a hold. I need a shit."
I liked that we were such a serious horror podcast, and now some guys in the shit are having problems.
Well, Spencer, the head of the order, should we ambush him when he comes off the crapper?
You're still a gent after he comes off the crapper.
Well, he don't want to shoot a man in the middle of his business.
That's a pretty good idea. If we can perhaps pretend to be him, or, you know, disguise ourselves or get rid of him, then maybe they can't complete this ritual of theirs.
Perhaps a dead man's bluff with the bombs of some description? I don't know.
"Grandmaster," you hear again through the door. "Grandmaster, Jeremiah is here. He's demanding you appear right now, or he's going to do it himself." "Oh, for God's sake, tell Jeremiah Brewster, that trumped-up little twit. This is a Marsh thing to do. If we're going to summon Dagon, it has to be a Marsh. You don't want to know what's going to happen if Dagon gets here and a Marsh isn't there." "That's all very well, Gram. I'll be out in a minute."
I'll ready my 45 and just sort of have the door just cracked open, and I'm going to shoot him in the back of the head.
If you shoot, then they'll hear the gunshot. It's best to take him out quietly.
Yes, but if you hadn't noticed, my sword cane isn't here. Do you have a knife, something?
I have the butt of my gun, which I'm prepared to use.
Well, good luck with that. I'll be ready to shoot him if you fail.
You just get my back.
Right behind you.
So are you bursting through the door, or are you going to wait for him to come out?
I'm going to wait for him to come out, and when he's just past the door, on the back of the head, and if that doesn't work, I'm going to pump him full of lead.
Actually, it might be a good idea to try and ambush him while he's on the crapper, because you're kind of defenseless when you're sitting on the crapper.
If you like. I'm behind you. Go ahead.
You can't defend yourself while you're on the crapper. Everyone knows this.
This is true. It definitely helped move his bowel issue, though. Instantly. If I saw someone coming with a gun.
You burst through the door. Jeremiah Marsh is wrapped in purple and gold robes, He's set his tiara and various gold jewellery on the bench next to him, and he's sitting on one of those incredibly old-fashioned toilets, which obviously is just like a hole which drops down to a stream below. He looks up as you burst in to go, "Oh, for God's sake, I said I'd be a..." And then he realises it's you, and he reaches for an incredibly ornate golden rod. And guys, you've got an action.
I'm going to strike him on the top of the head with the butt of my gun in a forceful strike.
Okay, give me a brawl roll. You can roll the advantage.
Ha! Critical success!
I hate you so much.
Okay, add D10 to your brawl roll as you strike him to the ground. And you can have a choice. Do you want to knock him out, or do you want to kill him with this roll?
I know what I want. I must play the correct one.
I will go with kill.
You're my favourite person ever, Aaron. I love you.
Crack, and he drops the ground, blood oozing out. Actually, his hood folds back, and you realise that this character is vaguely human. He's a hybrid Innsmouthian who's moved along in the process so far that his completely hairless features are more fish than man, with bulging eyes and a large elongated mouth that shows layers and layers of fishy, needle-sharp teeth. He drops to the ground dead at your feet, his eyes staring up into blackness.
Summon that bitch!
Grandmaster! Jeremiah is insisting that you come out here immediately.
I want to check out this rod he was reaching for. I don't want to check out his rod. Which is why Owen is laughing.
Sorry, I could not laugh at that.
Oh, wow. The rod. Unless that's magical too, in which case, hell, I'll get over my squeamishness.
Oh, we should have drinks already.
It is a golden rod. When you reach for it and pick it up, you realise that it is actually gold. It's incredibly heavy, covered in the strange archaic runes which are so familiar to the sort of Innsmouth sort of area. It's the similar ones that were on the door. It literally throbs with power.
I was laughing at golden heavy drops of power too much.
I was keeping it together till you said that, and then I just broke.
This is our best episode ever. We lose all of our listeners, but it was worth it.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Do I have any idea how to activate it or use it or what it's for, or does it just throb?
Right, give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll.
Oh, come on. For the love of God, one successful Cthulhu Mythos roll. I am an occult fanatic.
Oh, man, that's just embarrassing.
86 against the 23.
You're not sure. You feel that it's designed to exert will upon mythos creatures. Although as soon as you hold it up, you kind of feel that you can push your will through it. But nothing in the area seems to kind of click. You know, it's like trying to insert a floppy disk into a CD-ROM drive. Like you're not entirely sure what creature it's designed to control.
Okay, definitely keeping it. If nothing else, it's a nice club.
I quickly say to Dave, like, quick, put these robes on.
Well, I didn't particularly, don't know if he's my size, but... Oh, I see your meaning.
Well, Dave's actually already, Bartholomew's already wearing robes.
But I mean, I assume you want me to...
Change them to to be the correct ones.
I'll put on his robes and I'll lower the hood as far as over my face as I can.
So no one can see it, yeah. And then take the rod and...
Okay.
You've seen Scooby-Doo, Joe. You know what's happening right now, surely.
We're going to have Aaron on... sort of Spencer on Bartholomew's shoulders.
Roll no, Aaron!
Okay, we're going to... This is probably a really good point to switch back to Aaron while you can consider what you're up to.
So he can get blown up and then go back straight away.
Okay, As you sit in the warehouse recovering from your wounds and sort of banding stuff up, you hear a gentle ticking sound. Sort of, at first it's kind of quite relaxing, sort of tick, tick, tick. And then you kind of look up and see the dial on top of the military grade explosive attached to one of the pillars. And the ticking itself had previously seemed to be echoing, but actually you realise it's echoing because there is more than one of these charges spaced around the warehouse.
How many is more than one?
Let's say within your sight you can see at least three. You also notice a trapdoor at the far side of the warehouse, possibly where leading down to the ancient smugglers' tunnels where the military personnel had entered to place these charges.
I saw through the mirror of Ouroboros the plan to blow up all of the warehouses, and this has instantly come flooding back at the oh fuck moment, essentially. And when I looked up Lafayette, there was basically like 3 to 4 warehouses. Floating back moment of realisation of fuck, all the warehouses are getting blown up. Okay, so how far away is this hatch door?
The door, the actual trap door is the other side of the warehouse.
100 yards, 200 yards. I can get there in
10 seconds. You can dive out the door of the... You could do either. You can dive out the door of the warehouse, or you can dive across the warehouse and just drop down the trap door.
I am... Despite my broken body going to, filled with adrenaline and essentially shock more than anything, just run towards the trapdoor, running down as quick as I can, slamming it behind me, screaming, friendly, friendly, FBI friendly, and just down as deep into it as I can, and hope the fuck I live. What do I need to roll?
You don't need to roll. As you drop through the trap door, the warehouses on the entire street explode in a blazing inferno of the depths of hell. You drop 30 feet down, straight down, with enough distance to kill a normal man. Luckily, you crash into complete... still, black, freezing water. You drop down and down and down and down, hitting the bottom before resurfacing next to a longboat containing 2 incredibly surprised-looking soldiers and a ladder leading back up to the remains of the warehouse. The ladder looks up into basically a red and yellow window of fire.
Do they have any identifying marks? That are they just generic privates, or do they have like are they some sort of special forces?
They're dressed in sort of black and white, sort of camouflaged military clothing. One is holding a rifle. One is holding what seems to be a flamethrower. Or you think you recognise them as 2 of the soldiers that you saw outside the FBI building when you got arrested after playing a trick on Spencer. So Dave and Aaron. You're taking over 2 soldiers. You can make up names. Basically, you've been exploring the tunnel for hours. Your entire squad has been annihilated by fishy creatures coming up through the water. You've managed to stick with your mission, and you're definitely considering escaping at this point. You've got one more area to go to. You're looking for at least one more warehouse. You've lost contact with the other boat.
Okay, I'll be the leader of Charlie Squad.
As I'm sitting in the water, treading water, guys, I'm a friendly. I was sent by Lucas Mackey. I'm FBI. I'm disguised as one of these cultists from Innsmouth. So I knew to come down here. I knew you were blowing up the warehouse. I know about Colonel Maines and all the plans to attack Devil Reef, and I basically spilled my guts on everything I'd seen through the mirror of Ouroboros. It's like we've got to go. They've taken a hostage, a girl from Boston. She's gone down that way towards the Order of Dagon. We need to get up there.
Well, I don't know about nothing about that. Says this large, burly, somewhat dumb-looking soldier, obviously from the Plain States, with a flamethrower. Our orders have got shot straight to hell. Everybody's dead. We were just told to blow up these places, but I ain't got no map or nothing, so I don't know about no Dagon, but if you know what the hell we're supposed to be doing, just show me something to burn.
You're meant to blow up the warehouses, and you haven't got the last two. I can see them upstairs. If you come up this ladder, we can go blow up the last two warehouses. And it's on the way to my mission. We'll get the warehouses on the way.
Okay.
Who's your mute friend? And can you get me out of the water? And I put my hand up to the guy who hasn't talked, as opposed to the big dumb
Bill bird. Don't talk much.
Private Bill Briggs, sir, reporting for duty.
I wish you wouldn't have had him talk.
In the bowels of the boat are a number of rifles. There's also at least three more of these sort of time detonators. You're a few metres away from the ladder, which leads up to the warehouse above.
Okay, so a rifle and three bombs. Hey guys, do you mind if I take these? I mean, I'm not much of a marksman. I don't need a rifle. I'll take these and I pocket the explosives and let's go. And I climb up the ladder.
Right.
Come on, Bill.
Let's fall.
I'm a coming right behind you.
I love your accent. It's amazing.
Wish the fucker'd stay quiet.
Okay.
What's that, Sergeant?
Shut up.
Okay.
Guys, look, I'm a special agent. Keep it down and just follow me. Fucking hell. Yeah. Can we climb out of the hatch into the warehouse? Okay. And just...
There is no warehouse anymore. In fact, the entire street, as far as the eye can see, is a burning ruin of nothingness. Standing about 100 metres away towards the Order of Dagon are four beweaponed Innsmouthians. The centre one is dressed in strange red and gold robes, and they're kind of looking around dumbfounded at the exploded warehouses.
And there's no sign of Molly and her captain?
No, the last time you saw them, they were heading towards the Esoteric Order.
How far away are they?
Okay.
The four Innsmouthians are about 100 metres away, sort of near the end of the street.
And Bill, who's the flamethrower and who's the...
I've got rifle.
Lay down cover and fire. I'm gonna burn these sons of fishes.
Between us and the four guys, what's the lay of the land look like?
So you can see the picture in the in Roll 20. Pretty much all those buildings have gone.
So there's rubble between us.
Flaming rubble all around you. More or less, as far as the eye can see, the entire district looks destroyed. In the far distance, about 100 metres away, you do see these four people. If you've stood up in the warehouse, they might have stopped spotted you. I think actually you're a bit kind of ducked down, just poking out the trapdoor.
Okay.
You do see there are two warehouses towards the end of the street that are still standing.
Okay.
I stand up fully and straight, so the guys, I assume, make a move towards us.
I'm gonna charge him with the flamethrower. I'm gonna try to get into range.
Oh, Dave, give me 1 second here. Give me 1 second before you go doing that, because you might die.
I
don't mind. It's up to the DM. I don't want to meta. If you want to, I was going to finish my move, but if you want to let him charge, I'll let him charge.
Don't worry, Sarge, I'll cover you.
So they're a good way away. So right now, you've got the two soldiers charging towards them out for revenge, I guess, and you're hanging behind.
Jesus, the two soldiers are charging. Mother of Jesus. Can I try and stop them by putting my hands on their shoulders somehow? Or, like, any way?
Aaron's just getting ready for covering fire. I'm trying to get in close for the flamethrower.
Okay, I put my hand on the big... What's your name,
Dave? I didn't say. I think Bill.
Okay, no, Hank, you're going to be a Hank.
Bill Briggs is my character. Private Bill Briggs.
I put my hand on Hank, the big tick as shit slab of meat with a flamethrower. That's like, hold on, follow my lead. And I instantly pop a charge into explosive and roll it behind a pile of rubble, and we retreat about 100 yards.
Okay.
100 yards.
Okay, the four guys, let's just see if they spot you. I'm pretty sure they will.
I'm literally going to jump a foot off the ground as I spring up out of the trapdoor to make
me as obvious as possible. They don't just spot you, but the robed figure calls out. Unfortunately, the words that he says are carried away in the wind, and the three Innsmouthians, and they're definitely hybrids with bald heads, bulging eyes, and pale skin, come running towards you. Two of them are bearing rifles, and one of them seems to be bearing some sort of strange trident made of coral. Oh, and they charge towards you. So what are you guys up to?
So I try and lay the... So they're about 200 yards away, you said? They're definitely covering that in less than 60 seconds. But I'm going to roll it. So we've come out the trap door. There's a pile of road behind us. I'm literally going to jump, like, come up, stand up full straight, get the charge, place it at my feet, so hoping they can't see it from 200 yards. Retreat 100 yards or so, 150 yards, where the guys are going to put down cover fire and keep them near that charge.
I love your thinking, and I think this is a perfect time to switch back the esoteric.
I hate you so much, Joel. You're such a dickhead.
Right, so I'm holding the flaming rod of the High Priest of Dagon.
Golden throbbing rod
that you hold in your hand.
And I believe your name, because he did say it, didn't he? He said that you are Sebastian Marsh, I think it was. Mm. Let me just check. No, Robert Marsh.
And what was the name of the guy that was calling me? Because he did say, such and so's.
Jeremiah Brewster.
All right.
Okay, so you're dressed in the purple and gold robes. I believe you're currently in the crapper. What do you guys want to do?
I guess I'm going to try and brazen it out. I'm going to pull the hood as far forward over my face as I possibly can. I'm going to have my 45 tucked in my voluminous sleeve, holding this thing and hope for the best.
I'm going to be there if everything goes to shit, and I'll try and cover you.
Okay. How are you going to disguise yourself? Are you going to disguise yourself, Spencer?
Well, there's nothing to disguise myself with.
There's my robes,
which are anything like the cultists. Maybe
a robe is a robe. I don't know.
Yeah, go on then.
Your robes have a hood, Dave Bartholomew.
Yes.
So I throw off my trilby and my overcoat and quickly put this robe on as well and pull the hood right far down in front of my face, so my face is dark too, unless you really start to try and look up the hood.
Okay, so you exit into the corridor and walk to the end, into the door that's been currently closed that leads into the esoteric order.
Really blustering. I mean, I'm pissed off. They've been talking me on the crapper. I'm slam the door open, waving the rod around, trying to get people to step away from me so I sort of get an idea of what's going on.
Okay, the two creatures that are facing you are more fish than human, with bluey-grey skin, their hair flaking away and their eyes bulging. Oh, Grandmaster, I'm glad you're here. Jeremiah, he's started already. We haven't got long. Dagon is coming, I'm sure of it. Come with me, Grandmaster.
Sort of gesticulate with the rod for the go on in front of me.
The second one goes, are you okay, Grandmaster? You sound a little hoarse. Okay, the two creatures lead you through the main hall towards a large door at the left-hand side. They open it with a creak and enter through.
Mm. Do I sense anything from the rod?
No.
Okay. What do I see?
Still throbbing gently. Are you following the two creatures?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm following Dave as well.
So, March sort of still blustering. Perhaps a slight hesitation as I follow them into the room to just try and get the lay of the land. Obviously got the charges tucked up somewhere in the robes. I've probably got a couple. Aaron's got one. Worst case scenario, we're taking this fucker down with us.
Okay, you move through into an enormous room. In the centre, is a strange occult symbol, bisected with strange crisscrosses and irregular designs. Directly in front of you is a gigantic dais on which rests a large throne. To your left and right are tens, maybe 100 blue mouldering chairs. This is obviously some sort of meeting or worship room, but it is completely empty. The two scuttling figures lead you across it. They actually make sure they don't cross the kind of bisected symbol in the centre of the room, and head to one corner where there's a staircase heading down. Grandmaster, they've started. From the distance, far, far to the east, you hear like a boom and the ground shakes. Like, imagine like Jurassic Park, you know, the bit where the girl's in the car and there's like a giant footstep and it's like, boodum, boodum. He's coming, Grandmaster, he's coming, we're late. And they run off down the stairs in the distant corner of the room.
Okay. They've already headed down the stairs.
They've already headed down the stairs, yeah.
Shit. Are they far enough away for me to have a whispered conversation with Aaron? With Spencer?
Yeah. They've run off down the stairs. Like, they seem more intent on getting to whatever ceremony is downstairs than they are with actually leading you there. There's definitely mixed loyalties when it comes to this. You can hear chanting from below. There's a strange mixture of occult symbols, but the word Dagon seems to be going again and again and again.
Bloody hell, we're certainly far enough in to blow this fucker. But the civilians and soldiers, should we blow it and get the fuck out of here, or should we risk bullshitting our way in further?
Well, this is the main building of Dagon, so we could just put some of the charges around up here. Can I try and see if there's any like structural points in the room that I know are sort of like main, like any huge great pillars or anything holding the ceiling up or anything like that?
The very south of the room, there's two great pillars. When you were in the atrium, there was actually four pillars in there as well.
Well, do we go in or do we blow this?
Right, give me the charges. I will set the charges while you go down.
Oh, how terribly brave of you.
Don't worry, I'll be back. I'll come in and we'll figure something out.
Okay,
okay, Dave, I'm going to move your character. So just pay attention. This is where you are now.
Right.
Okay, you edge down the stairs. This is where all of the Innsmouthians have been led into. The stairs lead down and down and down. The stairs themselves seem to be hewn out of the very living rock, and the smell of seawater and rotting fish gets worse and worse and worse. Eventually they open out into an immense cavern. In front of you are hundreds and hundreds of people, men, women, children, many of which have the Innsmouthian look. The two characters that led you down here are trying to push your way through the figures, most of whom are bowing and praying and chanting. The front of the room, there is a figure taller than nearly all the others, dressed in robes similar to yours, holding a rod similar to yours, and he's chanting and he's reaching a point of climax. To his left and right, two gigantic statues, kind of strange cephalopods. You can give me a Cthulhu Mythos roll if you want to identify them. They seem to be gigantic deep ones.
Yay! Cthulhu Mythos, come on! Succeed in my first Cthulhu Mythos roll of the game, and no!
I really was waiting for you to go like, it's Japanese 600. Like some sort of actual cephalopod that exists in the wildlife.
Okay, they're all chanting. You see in front of the robed figure is an altar, before which is Molly, completely tied up, and on her chest is the child. You also notice 12 figures of soldiers also tied up.
Right, are there other... we saw signs of the robed figures sort of herding these people in here. Are they scattered about? Are they standing guard? Or is it really just the...
No, there's a quite a lot of robed figures, I'd say. Maybe 12 robed figures all over the room. Okay. When you look closer, you see amidst the children and the prayers, the men and the women, there are also a number of hybrids and deep ones too. You run to the back of the street. There's a short kind of moment of emptiness, and then the world explodes in white light and flames. They die down, and the three Innsmouthians that had been chasing you down are just gone. Facing you, 200 yards away, is the robed figure striding towards you.
If you don't... Actually, Billy, shoot him in the leg. No, if you don't hit him in the leg, I'm going to have you scrubbing toilets in West Point for the rest of your life.
Who's Billy?
Who's Billy? What's your name?
My name's Bill, sir.
God damn it, Bill. Even if you hit
Billy's
him,
my cousin.
You're going to be scrubbing toilets in West Point. Hold on.
Okay, opening fire!
65% on your rifle.
Do you want me to actually roll for this shit?
I do want you to roll for this shit, yes.
He rolled a 50.
Okay. The rifle shot echoes, and the figure collapses to the ground.
I run over to him and try and just put my hand on his chest and kick away the rod.
Okay.
With my 4 hit points
and
major.
Can you roll for damage while he's running towards him, please? It's a 1d10, please. Okay, he is chanting, and as you run towards him, I need you to make a power roll.
Can I?
Oh, he is trying to basically mental power, trying to take over you.
I got a 2 versus 60.
Okay,
it's the best day
successes,
ever.
So he gets hard success. You get an extreme success. Whatever mental power he was trying to take over is completely knocked aside.
Can I 1d10 my power?
You can't do that with your basic stats.
Oh.
And you get to him as his spell fails.
Can I punch him in the shoulder as he's chanting? is that a bit too on the nose?
You can roll advantage.
Oh my god. I was just making this a joke, but let's do this so. Versus 50, I got 64, and on the second roll of advantage versus 50, I got 32.
Fantastic. Okay,
ever.
You strike him across the face, knocking him out. The two other soldiers run up behind you.
Good job, Bill.
Okay, in the far distance, you hear a scream. Can you also give, all of you, can you give me listen rolls? Soldiers
listen
have 50
rolls.
As standard.
Versus 59, I got 65.
I got a 12.
And what's your name, sorry, Bartholomew?
Hank.
What's your new soldier's name?
Hank.
So, Hank.
My name's Hank.
To one side, you can hear the muted sound of a radio. You look to your left, and you see a downed soldier. On his back, he has a huge metal box with a long waving antenna, and there seems to be sounds coming from the radio.
Yeah, this
boys, we've got comms.
I'll run over and pick up the receiver.
Hello, this is Commander Hurst.
Roger, this is Sergeant Hank, 2nd Platoon, Bravo Company.
We've survived the attack. We're ready for bombardment. Looking for coordinates.
Well, I can certainly call out some coordinates for you, sir. Agent! Are there any particular targets, or should we just carry on with the assigned missions and destroy the rest of these warehouses via artillery attack from the ships in the port? Agent, shall we continue firing on our assigned targets, or would you recommend extraordinary measures to take out anything else in this town, sir?
We need to stop that. Whatever's happening there, I point at esoteric order of Dagon, which is glowing red. We've got to stop whatever's happening in there. They took a hostage, a girl. We need to get her.
I'm trying to call in artillery fire, sir. If there's anyone there, we'll kill them. Where do you want me to assign artillery fire? Should I carry on with our assigned targets, sir?
The warehouses, yeah. Take out the warehouses. Finish your mission.
Right. This is 2nd Platoon to artillery ships. Fire on my coordinates. Fire for effect on 36-3 by...
Hank, hold on, Hank.
Hold that order.
Let us leave the warehouse area and then fire the warehouse area. We need to get two
artillery fire is extraordinarily accurate, sir. Once I call out these coordinates, we'll be fine.
I back away from Hank because he calls out the coordinates.
Grid
really
number 36. Fire for effect. Fire.
Okay, there's a pounding from a distance, then a moment of silence, then the warehouses at the end of the street disappear in a blazing inferno.
Target destroyed! Target destroyed! Repeating, stand by for new coordinates.
Good job, Hank. Tell the boys to come ashore and support us. Tell them to attack the esoteric order of Dagon. Things are getting out of hand here.
Land a ship. We are requesting reinforcements. Is there any available? Over.
They're unable to dock without a port, but if you take the radio with you guys, you'd definitely be able to call in reinforcements in the future.
Negative, Sergeant. There is no reinforcements in this area right now. Carry on.
Yes, sir.
I'll take off the flamethrower with a slight tear in the corner of my eye.
Wait, why are you taking off the
flamethrower? I gotta carry the fucking radio.
Oh, okay.
Aaron, what's your name?
It's 1920, so you need to carry your radio.
It's Bill.
Private Bill! Hook this radio! I ain't getting rid of Bessie.
Sir, yes, sir!
Okay. From the distance, to the far south of town, you hear a tremendous noise. And a shadow breaks the darkness, towering above the town, the size of a skyscraper, this huge, immense figure walking towards the town. And I think this time, are you guys ready to switch back to the esoteric order of Dagon?
Okay.
Sure.
Bartholomew, the chanting is reaching a culmination. The guy on the altar, Jeremiah Brewster, is raising his ceremonial dagger above his head, ready to sacrifice the first soldier. From the distance, you can hear the sound of heavy footsteps getting nearer and nearer and nearer. What do you wish to do?
Jeremiah Brewster, stop this now. You know the consequences.
It's too late. It's too late. Dagon is coming. Can you not hear him? Boom, boom, boom. Robert, your leadership has taken over this town for too long. You are all going to go to Yathangthli, and there we will live among the deep ones forever. We shall swim out to that brooding reef in the sea and dive down through the black abysses to the cyclopean and many-columned Yathangthli. In that lair of the deep ones, we shall dwell amidst the wonder and glory forever. Dagon, come to me!
And you hear in the darkness the sound of heavy footsteps getting closer and closer, the ground shaking beneath you as the crowds around you chant.
You will be the death of us all with your foolishness and your ambition.
Cthulhu Fatagan, yeah.
He sounds out, his voice echoing around the cavern.
How close am I? And where am I now? Sort of where my character is, sort of halfway to the dais?
Oh, yeah. 20 feet away. A couple of people in front of you who are all kind of bowing to the ground and praying. He reaches his dagger up as the conflagration. I always think of that as like fire. The conflagration comes to a tumult and
congregation.
Are you saying congregation? I'm a Catholic here. I'm offended.
Tumult in their chanting, and his dagger crashes towards the soldier, stabbing straight into its heart, and black blood sprays in all directions. Dagon, that was for you. We have 11 more, and then Molly Smith, the Smith girl, and her baby.
I'm going to approach him as close. I'm going to get as close as I can to him, as close to point blank range as I can get. Is this him then? While he's chanting on and everything, I'm just getting as close as I can.
He stepped up to the second soldier. Meanwhile, Spencer, what are you doing in the floor above?
I am setting the charges on the main pillars. The explosive charges on the main pillars in the room above.
Okay, so you've got three. So you're putting one on this pillar here. Do you want to go into the main atrium where there's or the main lobby where there's some more pillars as well?
I want to figure out how to do as much damage as possible with these three charges.
Just screw the guy you said you were going to support. Who cares about him?
So that's the first pillar. I've colored it red.
I know how you feel, Owen.
Do you want to move over to others?
Welcome.
While you're walking down the steps and talking to people while I'm doing all this, so this is kind of like in the last 2 minutes that you've been talking or doing shit, I'm doing this.
It's not shooting Jake all over again. It's 2.0.
Right, so I've done that one. This one that I'm standing next to.
Okay, so you've got four pillars in front of you in the main lobby.
Is there such a way that I can, like, put it in the middle and maybe they take all four of them out?
Oh, definitely, yeah, definitely. I will warn you, these are 3-minute timers. You've probably got about a minute left.
Surely I set the timer on them, though, once I have them all placed.
That's fine, yeah. So you've just placed them, you've not set any timers at all. Okay, so you've placed the third one.
Not yet, no.
Okay, let's go back to Bartholomew in the room. The robed figure of Jeremiah Brewster has got his ceremonial dagger above the second soldier, and he's... Again, there's another crescendo as he goes down to stab him in the chest.
I shoot him in the back many times.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wish he would see this one. Go on.
He crashes against the far wall, blood spraying in all directions, and from behind you, the room filled with figures stops and stares up and in terror and fascination.
I pick up the ceremonial dagger with my face down so the hood is even more covering, hold it up, that and the rod. So I holstered the weapon.
Hold it up. This ceremony will not be defamed by that foul creature. Join me in prayer to Dagon.
And then the whole crowd starts going, Dagon, 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 Dagon.
And I sort of... turn around and keep waving my arms and doing things desperately trying to buy time as the sweat just drips off my body from every pore.
Okay, there's a mighty footstep and the entire Masonic Order shakes and crumbles, and the roof above you begins to tremble and break. Spencer, above you, the roof is ripped open as a hand as large as a car tears through the roof above you and reaches down, crashing through the floor into the room beneath. Bartholomew, from where you're standing, 20 cultists are grasped by the hand, screaming and crying. Three remain within the digits, crushed to lifelessness as they're grabbed up into the darkness.
Dagon is angry! Run! Run!
And I go to the bonds of the nearest soldier and start cutting them free. And
Okay.
I'm not with them.
Is that by the way,
I'm not with them.
I was just wondering if that was a sanity roll.
Oh yes.
Fuck you.
Sanity roll.
Fuck you.
I want to make Demon Hand the
extreme success on my sanity roll. I rolled a one, a motherfucking one.
Okay, hold on to that because you are back. So the two soldiers and Mictoban, you stand below the hill in which the Esoteric Order of Dagon stands. Towering above it is an immense figure. Taller than a house, taller than maybe the tallest building you've ever seen. Its black scaled form reaches up into the clouds. Its hand crashes through the roof. Its tentacled face writhing in madness. Sanity roll, please.
Cousin of yours, Hank? Okay, sanity roll on me. I'm so.
What's the default sanity? 50, isn't it?
30.
Dumb as a post, doesn't know what's going on.
Fail the sanity roll.
Can you lose D20 sanity?
D20?! Oh my god, this is
I'm not
gonna
be
good.
The only crazy
I have 30.
One. I'm not gonna be the only crazy one.
I have 33. So double my D. Oh no, there's D20, never mind. Oh my god, of course it's called roll 20. Derp.
9 sanity, that's more than a fifth of your sanity in one go. Can you make me an intelligence check?
Yes, let me just take off the sanity because I will forget. I'm on 24 or 30.
I would laugh so much if he just went crazy, turned around and shot both the soldiers.
Intelligence check. Oh, I'm so intelligent. No, not that intelligent, sorry.
Be even funnier if you hit the flamethrower.
95.
You fail your intelligence check, but in terms of Call of Cthulhu rules, in terms of science rules, that's actually a good thing. You fail to realise how brain-numbingly crazy it is to see a 200-yard-tall tentacled fish creature crawl out of the sea and smash through the Esoteric Order. You take your 9 sanity, but in terms of adverse effects, you do not take in any temporary insanity issues.
So, Mictoban, having seen a lot of crazy shit in the last few times, is not majorly affected by this scaly 90-foot demon, and slaps Hank and Bill across the face and goes, "Come on, we need to get in there."
Hank's succeeded in his sanity roll.
Okay.
Call in the goddamn artillery!
If for those of you that are on Roll 20, there's a picture of what's hanging above the Esoteric Order right now.
Ooh. Are these what the fishermen look like? The fully transformed
ones?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's like a weird bat tentacle. It's like Cousin It with bat.
That's exactly what it is.
Alright.
This is Sergeant. This is Land calling artillery support. Artillery support, respond.
Artillery support is here. How can I help?
Fire for effect on the big thing! Grid sector 76V, fire everything, god damn it! I don't know what the fuck this is! Fire, fire, fire!
Firing for effect.
Okay. There's the thud of the three warships, or the many thuds of the warships' cannons shooting into the darkness before the immense figure explodes in violent light. There is a most horrible scream. This thing will haunt your nightmares forever. And in fact, it is so loud I need you to make constitution rolls, and that's all players wherever you are right now. Anyone who fails their constitution roll has been deafened by this terrible scream. Once the multiple explosions disappear and the smoke clears, there is nothing left of the Esoteric Order. It is gone. This terrible, terrible figure has crashed on top of it, reducing the entire thing to rubble. Flames abound the entire area, and I think this is a really good point to change back to Spencer and
Spencer,
Bartholomew.
I hope you have massive luck, Spencer, because you might be shit out of it.
Spencer, the immense hand of Dagon has just plunged through the roof. Sanity checks, please. If you've made them already, use them. So, Dave, you've had an extreme success.
I'm going to.
Are completely unaffected.
No, Dave, I rolled a one.
Around you scream in terror and begin running in all directions. Spencer, how did you manage
yourself?
All
Bartholomew does is giggle slightly.
I failed.
You failed. Okay, give me an intelligence roll, please.
95.
Okay. You lose 13 sanity.
Holy shit.
The immense hand of Dagon is descending again towards you. What do you want to do?
Well, with this huge great fist that's come crashing through the roof and then crashing through the floor, I kind of shit myself just a little bit. I'm going to just set the charge so it starts ticking and run like fuck.
Thanks, pal.
Okay, Bartholomew, the crowds around you begin to scatter and run in all directions. You've begun to free the soldiers and Molly Smith when suddenly the world above you erupts in chaos. The shells from the warships crash into Dagon, who then himself crashes into the Masonic Order above you. A few seconds later, the charge set by Spencer explodes.
Along with all the other two.
In all directions, the last thing you feel.
Jesus Christ.
Or the last thing you see is blackness. And I think this is a
thanks, Aaron.
To switch back to the two soldiers. And. Two soldiers and Mick Tobin. You work your way through the up the hill towards the rubble of what was the Masonic Order. Spread across the Masonic Order is the immense, stinking, fishy corpse of Dagon. And Spencer, I need you to make a luck roll.
Oh, no way.
Oh, shit.
Oh, yes!
Hard success.
24 out of 50 luck.
And crawling out of the rubble is the bedraggled figure of Spencer Randall.
I'm too old for this shit.
That was not the end, and we'll be back next week with another exciting instalment. If you can't wait that long, then head over to our Patreon page. By donating as little as $5 a month, you can get early access to new episodes and much more. Another great way of supporting the podcast is to write us a 5-star review on iTunes, and I'd like to thank the Swordnut Podcast, A Ruse, Angel Bustamante, BF Evans 19, and the Spirit of Christmas for your extremely kind and generous words. If you do have any questions, comments or requests, then send us a message on Reddit, Twitter or Facebook. And you can find details of how to do that and much, much more at our website, howwerollpodcast.com. Again, thanks for listening and see you next time.